You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
Man, you know what it's like when I get up in the morning and I'm like, wow, I got a show I got to do today. And I was thinking about, who do I have on today? And sometimes we got a grower, sometimes we got some good weed. We just got back from the Champs Convention. And me and fucking Mayhem decided to take a little trip.
What's the good word?
What up? Took a trip to the Champs Convention. And then when we're rolling around, I get to see all the different glassblowers that I've hung out with throughout the years. And lo and behold, I run into one of my homies from the East Coast. I'm like, bro, if you come to L.A., you got to come over to Purple Haze Radio, jump on, and tell everybody what it is like.
And let me introduce him, Mr. Gucci Man himself. What's the good word? He's here. Gucci Man. What's the good word?
What's up?
I love that song you did with Amigos, man.
He's messing with you. Welcome, Elbow. Elbow Glass, legendary glass blower. It's been in the game since 2000.
Well, not 2009, technically.
2009.
Technically speaking.
Technically 2009.
That is like a decade jump, dog. Listen, for a Jew, man, your math is off, dog. This is really weird right now. You're really sharp usually. You're upsetting my inner Jew.
He's a fellow man of the tribe, I believe, too, though, right?
Quite enough. Yeah, the South African kind. You know how it is.
I'm 98%.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Hell yeah. Shout out to all my tribe motherfuckers out there waking and baking with us this early afternoon in Southern Cali. How you doing, man? Otherwise, good?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. So, you know, you've been... What made you get into glass? Like, pretty much, you know, at a certain time in your life, what said, hey, I'm going to change shit up. Boy, there had to be some influences or something.
Honestly, the first time I ever really fell in love with glass was when I was 13 years old. I saw a Jerry Kelly pipe for the first time in my life, and it blew my fucking mind. I could not believe what I was looking at.
So, Jerry Kelly.
What is this stuff like?
Let's break that down to people that have never heard, had any idea.
Yeah, I'm originally from Massachusetts. That's where I grew up. I grew up in Western
Shout
Massachusetts.
Shout out to all my motherfuckers out in
Massachusetts.
Is that by
North Brookfield?
I grew up, actually, outside Springfield, Massachusetts.
So I recorded in North Brookfield one time. It was wild.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Western Mass is pretty tight. But Jerry Kelly was a legend where I'm from, legendary glassblower, pipe artist, old school cat, still kills it to this day. But I saw one of his pipes when I was growing up in the Hempis in Northampton, Massachusetts, and it just like blew my mind. I couldn't even conceive of how it was made. And at the time it was $23, which was like all the dough I had. But I gave it to my boy to buy because I wasn't even old enough to buy it. But ever since then, as soon as I got that piece, I just fell in love with glass, and I knew that I wanted to somehow figure out
how to do that. It's not easy to do it. Let's be honest. There's a lot of people that try to blow glass and get very frustrated, right? Like, let's explain the mindset of it. One, you're working with a hot torch, right? So you got to deal with kind of heat conditions, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You got to deal with like posture. And being very, you know, like, able to do a lot of agility and withstanding the conditions.
Tim, I'm going to tell you what, my glass blowing shit, my form is off, dude. I lean to one side.
I don't know if that matters and stuff, but at least, like, the point, it takes a lot of practice.
No, it does. You know? I'm just fucking with you.
Okay, I got you.
No,
The East Coast humor.
Yeah, sorry.
I love it. It's great.
No, it's the hardest thing I've ever tried.
That Larry David right there. You know, that good Larry David.
Shout out Larry David.
Absolutely. He's a man, dude. Larry David's official.
He is. Actually, my ringtone is the Curb song.
Listen, I've met everybody. I don't give a shit. Met everybody. And then there, when Haiti, that tragic hurricane in Haiti, there was a thing that George Lopez did. And, like, everybody there from, like, you know, Robert De Niro, Andy Garcia, all these factors. And there's like lamb chops, all the lavish stuff's going around. It's so nice. Larry David is sitting in the middle of everything reading a fucking book, dude. And I went up to him, I was like, bro, I just got to tell you, on our tour bus, because on our tour bus, it'd be like me, Tommy Lee, Mixer Master Mike and the Beastie Boys, Randy Jackson, American Idol, you know, Stephen Perkins, James Addiction, fucking Dan Leonard from Nine Inch Nails. We're all in the same band. Mm-hmm. And so we're like cruising, and we watch Curb Your Enthusiasm and shit sometimes. We're like, different shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was like, I don't know. I would tell him that, and he was like, "What the fuck?" He was like, "Oh, that's awesome." He didn't give a fuck. It was just like, it was the best thing ever. He cared a lot. He was like, "Dude, please just like basically leave me alone." It was fucking pretty tight. It's exactly when we want it to be when you get to meet Larry David. You know?
Yeah, that's so sick.
You don't want to be normal.
So let's get into it though. You got into doing it, and then. Back then, a lot of people were just like blowing glass pipes, really. They weren't, I mean, you're starting to see some kind of like sculptural type shit, but I mean, mainly pipes, right?
Yeah, when I very, very first started even collecting pipes, it was, you know, the basic old school shapes. You know, people had a Sherlock collection, they had a bubbler collection. You know, stand up bubbler, they had a sidecar collection, spoon, you know, these were like the basic shapes that people were doing at the time. They were killing it, but that was like as far as the, like, you know, form went at the time. Some people were doing some other crazy stuff, but it wasn't like that prevalent yet in the pipe community.
And you actually had a little bit of trouble trying to just learn how to do regular pipes at first, right?
Oh yeah, it was impossible. So when I started blowing glass, which was like the first time I ever gathered glass, was in 2005. At the time, I wanted to learn how to make pipes, but it was impossible because nobody would open up their doors to an outsider to teach them how to make a pipe. Operation Pipe Dreams had just gone down.
Which, for a lot of you guys who have no idea what happened, was around 2004, the feds decided to fuck with glass blowers and start raiding guys that were doing it because the internet really was just starting to get big. And people were thinking, oh, this is a cool way for me to get my, you know, stuff out there and to sell it to people. But because it was being shipped from one state to another state, they made that as an excuse to come in and fuck with people's lives. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and then raided, and it made it very scary for people to do shit. So back then, it was a lot different. And then you said to myself, okay, look, so I got to do something different. So I'm going to make a pipe.
Oh, yeah.
And you decided to do one of the favorite things that I've always enjoyed that you did is you decided to replicate the kosher dill pickle jar.
That is the best thing I've ever come. That's excellent.
And then actually make each pipe a pickle.
Yep.
And then had to make it the kosher dill. I mean, there's lots of pickles you could have picked out of there because he's a fellow tribesman.
Has to be kosher.
Had to go for the fucking kosher. You had to give it the fucking stamp of approval right there. You know what I'm saying? The quality glass, quality kosher product right there to be puffing your weed on. And you actually like put them in jars with pickle juice so they could like smell a little bit like pickle juice. And then when you cracked it open, you would like.
You into the pickle juice.
Yeah.
Would you put the pipes bathing in the pickle juice?
I honestly didn't even need to.
Empty it and just put them in the jar.
Yeah, because it's so stinky.
Yeah, you know? You know what it is? You know it holds it real tight, right? Because me, I'm like 50. I grew up hood. You know, I'm always trying to do something. But when you try to recycle a pickle juice, like jar and shit, it's the can top. That can top soaks up all that good love right there.
You're so right, dude. Absolutely.
That's where it is. No matter how much bleach and shit. And
it's
how much
lid.
Dawn and how fucking it don't matter. You can have, man, you know they got that Platinum Plus bullshit, whatever, for like the pods for your dishwasher.
Yep. Yeah, that you know that was stupid, that pod challenge. How people like decided that they're that like
what's a pod challenge?
Yeah, people are bored.
People were literally going on YouTube and trying to eat the Tide fucking pods. And recording
kids are dumb
and who falls for something that stupid just to get attention? And then people are being poisoned. They had to like, dude, a whole fucking crazy thing happened from that shit.
Yo, dude, I want to know one thing, bro, because now I'm able to talk to a real glass blower. Mm-hmm. Check this out. As I was out there in Vegas sweating my balls off at the Sweet Jerome Baker soiree that this motherfucker dragged me to.
Big Papa, what do you want to listen to?
Oh, okay, what should we listen to?
Yeah,
since he's feeling, we might as well hear some Mick Mills.
Meek Mill.
I'm a boss. We might as well go straight for
free.
You know what I mean? We might go straight for the right
fucking
right there,
free.
You know what I'm saying?
That should be the new slogan, keep Meek free.
Yep.
Let's hear
Meek Mill's, I'm a boss.
Ooh, that new Swiss. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's try this.
Okay.
I need to bring it back.
Are you want
to
put something
else? Do you want to keep this?
Oh, no, we got more coming. Don't worry. He don't get choices all like that, dude. This ain't no fucking Blunt Buffet over here.
Shout out Swiss Beats. I'm trying to get a piece in your collection, dog. Holler at me.
Well, you can hook that up. We can doubt it.
Okay. Do you wanna you wanna hit some oil or no?
Yeah, sure. I got some shit too.
So
yeah,
you got some shit.
Let's have him try some official shit.
Look, I got a question, motherfuckers, right now.
Let's focus.
I'm saying I'm over here at JBD's spot. And it's nice, it's cool, but it's hot as fuck, all right?
In Vegas.
It's sweaty. Yeah. There's a fan with moisture coming out of it. I don't know. All I know is that I don't know why. I was like, maybe it's because of a reason. And I'm looking at their structures, and I'm like, okay, I don't see any way of air conditioning. Is it because when you're glass blowing, is air conditioning, mess it up?
No. It would make
I'm asking a glass blower, not you, motherfucker. You send your fucking bong off to get repaired. Please, pause.
All right.
I'm just wondering, maybe is it some tribal shit he does?
I'm gonna tell you what, honestly, both of the studios I work in are air conditioned, but yo, it's taxed to get it done.
It's cost
like
money.
It took like, you know, a bunch of people coming together to make it happen because it was taxed. But like, honestly,
because it gets
extra,
hot as fuck in there. Yeah, like, if you have all those torches going and the kilns and this, and everybody's in a fucking room and stuff, like, how hot does that shit get?
I blew glass for over 10 years.
He was raining sweat.
And 10 years and you had no AC?
No AC. That's why it took time to, like, build up to be able to,
see,
like,
afford
it.
You pay dues. That's what I'm talking about. I did the same shit. You pay dues, you know what I'm saying?
But you can put AC in glass.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I knew something was fishy. Because he was fooling me with all those, you know, the videos out front showing on him out with the tribes and all this shit, you know what I mean? Yeah. Barefoot fucking wading in different lakes and rivers throughout the world. I was like, maybe it's some shit, you know what I mean? It's something about the...
Nah. What it comes down to...
Might give air bubbles, AC air bubbles. I don't know, AC air bubbles.
What it comes down to is you got a place in the art district that didn't have any AC.
How is that possible in Vegas?
And no, you don't. It doesn't make sense to have a tourist bong museum and not have no air conditioning. I mean, shout out, he's my boy. I love him. I've known him forever.
The bongs are fucking phenomenal.
They're awesome.
Next level.
Those are gigantic, and they're fucking. It's a great attraction.
It's a big deal.
It's a great attraction.
It should be in the middle of like the Planet Hollywood or somewhere.
Yeah.
It's that bad. Listen, did you go see him?
I did not. Honestly,
oh, bro!
I didn't have time.
It was ridiculous. They had the video.
I wanted to. I mean, I seen the video, but
you saw the video and they had like the fire suit.
Oh yeah.
It was a big ass. I've never even seen anything like that before. They had a big old.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, I know about that. I don't know about that.
No. I like that.
Yeah, I'm just saying too. But like, I don't even. Not even. It blew my mind. I couldn't even fathom it. I was like, is that like an airplane crash suit or is it fucking someone?
It's like, well, like, so like that's the type of glass I did before I did pipes. So like, I used to get suited up like that all the
time. Stop it.
I swear to God, even at my old job, that was like my job was to be the dude in the suit with the mitts just putting stuff away. And like getting people water,
dude. That is a serious job. I would fuck it up every time. I swear to God,
dude. It's.
I'm a tinker.
It's not that bad.
I'm a tinker, dog. I'm telling you, bro. I was telling him I was warning him outside with his beautiful piece. You know, as we were sitting out there, I was very nervous. Like I'm gonna tell him, I was like, yo. I told him earlier, I was like, I don't even like to stand up touching that apparatus he has.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Because
he gets all scared.
Yeah, I get fearful.
That's you just got to be confident.
I mean, hence my name is Mayhem. You know what I mean? I break shit on accident.
He gets scared. You know, the whole thing with glass is like the fragility of it. You know what I'm saying? The fact that you're scared to touch it is like part of what makes it so beautiful. You know,
absolutely, exactly. Especially
that's why I love it.
I'm looking at your pieces, you did these pieces right here, right?
Yep, these are my pieces.
You did this one right over here.
Yeah, this is
the most gnarliest thing. I can't even believe it.
No, it's
dangerous.
It's a little oil hitter and. Look at how tight. So did you do ones with little Mario Kart people or something, or like something like, you know, that? Do you ever go that direction? I know you did dinosaurs, pickles.
I've done collaborations with other artists that involved like themes like that before.
Have you done that Michigan glass project that all those guys like pile into, or have you done a few of those before?
I'm a real piece of shit. Because I have not. But shout out to everybody that's there right now.
And let's tell everybody who doesn't know anything about glass and that it's truly a full subculture. I mean, it really is these guys that have went to stretch what is art in glass and create something that's functional, that not only can you appreciate it as being a work of art and having a value to it, but you actually could smoke out of it, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yo, yeah. Dude, is this are these Fu Manchu dudes up at the top?
Actually, these,
if you look at, you ever seen the Kabuki?
No, I know what you're saying. Yeah, this is, it's actually, it's just like a pattern.
Look at that.
The artists are two artists from Japan. It's one artist over the top of the other, actually.
Wow. See, so I got that hint of love in there.
It's got three
Let's do a little shout out. We got a bunch of people popping on while he explains it. Let's do a little shout out to Susan over in Arizona.
God bless your little heart.
She enjoys glass at her place. We should definitely, Susan, you should be looking at some of Elbow's glass.
Yeah, I'm going to hand it back to you.
You know what I don't understand is why dispensaries aren't carrying lots of pimp glass.
Are they having problems?
Or is there rules about that?
You know, I've talked to some dispensaries about it before. I just I feel like that's just not their main concern right now.
They don't want that much money being directed to somebody else but themselves. I think it's purely you know what I mean?
I think that in the very near future, especially in Cali, we're going to start to see like the waiting areas with large, glass collections, because that's where people
of
are
real
just standing.
Pieces, though. Yeah. Of real pieces, not that bullshit,
like real art works that are functional from, pipe artists, any level of pipe artists. But if they had like those types of pieces in the waiting area, it would
attract a lot of people.
Yeah, it would give people appreciation for that
absolutely.
Culture too.
I'm always a big advocate about, I've known guys who had really nice, who had, hold on 1 second. You guys talk.
Yo.
But yeah,
this guy be taking calls like a fireman. You know what I mean? He's going off like a fire drill. Yo, I want to ask you, man, what's up with this lemonade one right here?
All
right,
this one is actually color changing.
It's
CFL reactive. So like,
what does that mean?
So that means that the glass under fluorescent light, it reflects. I don't know if it refracts or reflects. Honestly, I don't know the difference.
It freaking fracks it.
But it changes to a pink under fluorescent light, and then under all the other light, it's kind of this like green, kind of lemonade-y look. It's a serum made by Glass Alchemy. It's like one of the top color companies in the world. They're based out of Portland, Oregon. It's all hand-batched, small batch. And this is a collaboration with Joe Peters, one of my best friends, and my studio mate from Colorado.
It's incredible.
Shout
and so
out
they
Pat
make those
too.
Actual, all those cuts, all those angles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They do all that.
This is all faceted. This is honestly done by myself, Joe, and our buddy Pat. He helped out a lot with this one. I mean,
that's incredible. So a piece like that, what would that one retail for?
I don't want to say
I say priceless.
I would say priceless. I don't want to say a price, though, because it'll date this interview, not only, because who knows where the prices will go from here, whether they go up or down.
You see Antique Roadshow being from the East Coast,
No, I haven't, but I know about it.
They'd be having that thing, like, we should do some shit like that, where it'll be like, right now, the prices. Well, we don't need to do it, but prices now. And then, like, you'll see it in 10 years, like, on Antique Roadshow, be like, oh, like, in 2006, it was like $8,000. Now it's all
true.
It's all like $3,000. Or it can be like ding, 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 fucking $15,000 now.
True.
You never know, but I know what you're saying about money.
I also don't like to put the price out of a piece just because it's like a private thing, and it's kind of like, I don't know. If somebody buys it and they want to let people know, then that's up to them. But otherwise,
it's like a real art piece. It's like sitting down with a factor artist and be like, hey bro, like on the radio and be like, hey man, how much is that shit for that one piece you just did here? And yeah, there's some motion in this thing and this time and these hours and work and whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And motherfuckers are like, now they're really intrigued. They're like, hey, what the hell is it now? How much does this shit cost? They want to see it. Facebook living? I think so.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, you want to hold that up for a second, bro, if you could? I don't want to touch it. Cause
which way, right here?
I think he's right here.
So like
somewhere
right here, right
somewhere.
Here. Okay,
there you go.
So like
that's the camera right there. That thing is dope right there. I can't believe those angles.
This is a Triceratops that is all gem cut, faceted, fully.
And faceted means, what does that mean?
It's where you, I mean, I honestly don't know the exact definition. Because first of all, like in the pipe scene too, we used a lot of lingo the wrong way. It's kind of like, because we weren't like academically educated in the practices that we're doing. Most of us aren't, you know, it's kind of just like figuring it out. So like, even for instance, I know that we like say milli when we're talking about like little pieces of cane or whatever. And that's like the improper use I've been told or whatever, but that's just what we've been using. So that's just what we use. But fastening, I mean, it refers to like cutting different angles on a piece.
On that front
gem cut look. Yeah,
that's badass.
I mean, I think that fastening is just flattening the piece to like edges.
So how do you do that? I mean, is it done
It's done by hand. It's done on a flat wheel. You know, it has to go through several passes. So first you rough cut it, and then you have to go through a few pads of semi-polishing it.
Oh my god.
And then you have to polish each side. And you have to do that at each angle. So it takes quite a while to do something like that. This piece specifically, probably between the three people, had like 300 hours into it.
That's some boss shit.
It's so small though, but it's just got, you know, every single detail of it.
I know plenty of hip hop dudes, they got like literally, like I'm talking about 11 karat diamonds, and I know somebody with a 1 karat diamond that's just flawless and beautiful. And that's what I'm talking about. You can buy 10 of their big 10 carats.
I'll tell you what, the only artist, really shout out Action Bronson, he's a real one. He's a real deal fucking art appreciator and pipe collector. And that's why I don't even understand these other rappers that are spending all this money on jewelry and all this
jewelry.
It's and watches and stuff. I mean, yeah. I understand. I appreciate watches and stuff like that. But, you know, you're talking about a timepiece that maybe there's 1,000 of them made or something like that. I mean, if you're talking about a piece of glass art, you're talking about a one-of-a-kind piece from, you know, one,
no,
two,
let's
or
let's take that
you
off
know?
The table. Let's take it off the table. Look, the timepiece is all that shit. Whatever. Keep your shit as long as you get a good connect. What's disgusting to me is going to the club, especially in L.A., is that dude all the time. One bottle, they'll spend $40,000 for one bottle to pop it open and spray it on motherfuckers.
That's insane.
The bills in the end there, $125,000 bills. And then they'll go to the strip club and spend $25,000, $30,000 just to make it rain and get these special guns now where they just fucking put the stacks dollar bills on top. And so, and it's like, if you're a real bottle, you'll put 10s, 20s, whatever. It's getting disgusting. So now you're doing something so grossly negligent with your bread when you can actually own a real fucking timepiece. And you know what some of these people are smoking out of. You already know what it is.
It's
the Chinaman stuff we're seeing. I saw it all over the show. And they think they got something cool too.
That's what upsets me is all these years, a lot of the, when it wasn't as much about social media, a lot of the glass blowers were all at the shows. It was a lot of the old school guys. They weren't getting cut out by like all this Chinese glass crazy. I mean, there was always Chinese ripoffs, but they never had the skills back then to
can make anything now.
Now they can make anything. But back then, it was very hard to duplicate the kosher pickle. I mean, even as easy as you think it is, and not a lot of glass blowers would want to do it. Plus, there's always kind of a code of glass blowers.
Of course.
If he all of a sudden became like the pickle and this and whatever type of dude, then somebody else is not gonna,
on the pickle.
Someone someone else trying to do that didn't apprentice under him or get his like expressed blessing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a then, pickle then, twist.
Then
you know what I mean?
Then he would be kind of blocked or banned by people. You know, now people can come in and fucking copy and this and do that and go to these shows, and it's just more about the cash and this industry being a lot more of people who want to use products, you know, than just roll joints, you know?
You know, at the end of the day, the people who are making original work are like the richest inside.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
That feeling that you have knowing that you're making something that you truly believe in, that's original, and that you feel good about, even if you can't make money on it.
Absolutely.
The feeling that you get is worth more
absolutely
than money.
Bro, surround yourself more and more. You're already on that path. I've just tried to surround myself more and more with people that are on that same level.
Yeah.
Like, don't step over dollars to get pennies. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
got
to get into the thing, into the art. Understand, like, paying dues and, you know what I mean, taking time. And real true art takes time. Like, people want instant.
And that's the thing. It takes years and years. You got to sit there and do it. And, like, look, a piece like this, you were talking about this before, right? One of these pieces they brought in, like, this bigger piece right here, wholesale.
Ooh, let's not talk
about
prices.
He was talking about price, see?
All right, let's talk about price. Okay, but forget about
that. We just had a whole conversation about it.
Okay, but the point is, this could be worth a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
And he could be spending all this time to create this, and then all of a sudden, right at the end, when he puts it in the kiln, fucking
done.
It could crack or this or something could happen.
Definitely.
And then you got to look, be like, oh, motherfucker, I got to fix like 60% of it or 70%.
Or it's gone.
It's over.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you got to start all and have the mindset to say, oh shit, I'm going to do this all over again.
Yep.
That in itself.
And do it better.
And that, or just, yeah, get past it.
We call it a reball.
Reball
it out.
You know, we got to reball it out.
Yeah.
That in itself takes a huge mindset, bro. You know what I'm saying?
That's like why they do a lot. That's why they do a couple balls
then,
to get through
and
that
then,
thing.
And then the and then the person
reball.
And then people get
reball. Go get the re-up. We need more balls. Call Tony. Call Tony.
Yeah, and the thing is that when that goes down like that, it becomes crazy because then people get real picky. They see a little scratch, a little line, or something fucking in it.
His pieces are so real. We got some Chinaman piece. It's a microphone. I went across the street to Target and got some straight ghetto glue, and I'm about to thatch this thing together with some electric tape.
The glass is so cheap.
There's nowhere to send it. They can't send it nowhere. Where are you going to send it?
That's why I feel real bad because I get some DMs sometimes of kids that are like, "Yo, I just picked up this new piece. I've been waiting forever. I just dropped all this money on it. I'm so stoked." And they sent me a picture of it. And it's a fake.
And it's crazy because
I'm like, oh no, I'm so sorry. And then I send them a picture of the real one just because I want them to try to
absolutely
see the difference.
Absolutely know the difference. Yeah, for
because,
sure.
That hurts
like,
the heart.
There's a lot of, like, to the untrained eye, you know, it might be hard to tell the difference. But if you're even
absolutely
a little bit trained, I mean, or if you follow my work a little bit, you'll see the difference in the nuances.
And I guess, you know what? That's actually a very important thing. Why don't you give a shout out of your Instagram and stuff like that? And then people, if they
follow me.
Yeah, and what? No, literally, what's the shout out? How can people check out these pictures and things if they do want to know? Or if they're in a shop and they take a picture of it. They can get a hold of
you. They got
a
shop that got their bars up.
Yeah, is
they better have their bars up.
I got a website.
What are some of the telltale signs people would know? You know,
that it might be fake?
Or to get a hold of you, yeah. What's the website?
I mean, well, the easiest way to tell if it's a fake is just DM me on Instagram with a pic of it.
And
we'll be
go.
Like, is this real? And I'll let you know. I try to get back to those ones to like.
And what's the Instagram?
Sure. My Instagram is Elbow Glass, ELBOGLASS.
Elbow Glass. And check it out.
And
there's pictures of the pickles on there for sure. You get to see that.
Oh yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if you really want to see, I've written like an artist statement, and if you want to actually learn a little bit about my work, you can visit my website, elbowglass.net.
Okay.
Shout out the dude who got elbowglass.com, you dick.
I was going to say shout out .net. I'm just going to give you love on that. Like, yeah, man.
Yeah,
.net.
I'm not paying
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but you know what's funny?
I got the .net.
Oh,
Hotmail still. So I'm like, you're on Hotmail?
Ooh. Is it one of those repoed ones where they just bought the name and like literally don't put up a site or nothing?
Nothing.
Just to buy it.
They
and how much did those creatures want for it?
Last time we checked, it was like, and that was a few years ago, it was G-Stacks.
Yeah, no, it's so stupid.
Well, I got my website for like $2 off GoDaddy.
That's so fucked
you know
up.
You know who does you wrong is GoDaddy.
And who else?
Oh, really?
GoDaddy's one this to me. If you go there, I went and looked the other night for this nonprofit thing I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or not trying to do, I'm going to do, but I wanted to get to a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, I click on it and I was like, nah. Because I know at nighttime, credit cards get real weird with you. I'll be signing up for some weird shit. Next thing you know, like, that's a repetitive fee every month.
Let them try it a little ahead of the oil. All
right, we're going to do that. But so next, you know, See, now you just fucked me up.
Because I think we stunk out the neighbors a little bit.
Oh,
so we'll stick
okay,
out
okay,
to
okay,
that.
Okay, my
keep
bad.
The flower a little bit there. But
sorry,
it's fine.
Neighbors.
No, it's cool.
Did they hit you up?
It depends on what time of the day.
Did you hit him? Did they hit you up?
No, did you just... Does that still gurgle?
I'm about to go get it. Hold on.
Is there a cleaner rig around?
No, go grab it.
Oh, is it? Yeah, actually, there's the new Air one. You want to try the Air one? Like, get the brand new one we got and put some water in it, Beast. The one with the mic.
Yeah, you can't believe you got me doing things with Danger Glass.
Ooh, you know what?
Actually, you know what? Let's just hit the barrel. Where's the barrel?
I got the barrel right here. We're good.
Yeah, hit
we're
the
good,
barrel. We're good.
Hey, yeah, so good. I'll tell you what. I'm actually out here in LA right now because I'm trying to finalize a pop-up right now. It's going to go on at the end of September out here.
We can work with you with the pop-up, actually.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's going to be... You know, I'm working out details right now, but it's going to be 5 to 6 pieces. Some of my best work. I mean, I've already started working on it.
Nice. And what's inspired this set?
Honestly, all of the new wave designers that are out there.
Is there that many guys coming out?
I'm saying the young street designers that are now doing fashion and other forms of art.
I got you.
Video. I'll tell you, I'm really inspired by the Augie crew, the people that are doing ASAP Mob stuff. Their artistic director. I think the crew is pretty much artistic directors, but shout out them. This shit is sick.
ASAP Mob, let's throw something on. Let's see.
But I don't know. I'm trying to do something different with the glass thing. I feel like I'm getting so tired of going to see the same shit on the pedestals and the white walls. I'm sick of that. I want an experience.
Oh, I understand.
But
those are successful, right? I mean, when they do those ones in those nice galleries and they throw the parties, I mean, do most of the time you end up being pretty good and get some sales from them or no? Or is it just more to be an exposure?
Yeah, no.
Just blow it down this
okay,
one.
My bad. Yeah, no, I mean, it's their sales, for sure.
Okay, sweet.
I mean, that's not these specific shows. They're the best ones to go to because it's me making passion stuff, you know?
Sure.
It's,
What was something that you created that was one of the more passionate pieces that you're wow, this was,
I mean,
if you had to just throw something
the
out
most
there, I'm
recent,
not gonna say it.
Yeah. I mean, the most recent
most
one,
recent.
I mean, well, first, every piece in front of me right now was a passion piece.
Yeah,
these weren't pieces I was making with the intent of selling them. I was making them purely for the enjoyment of working with other artists.
So these are collabs.
These are sick-ass
all of
collabs.
Them are collaborations.
Super collab.
Okay.
But as far as solo work goes, honestly, the most recent one that I made that was just a passion project, which got love and hate, but it was a all Gucci'd out open mouth dino tube. It was a little bong that I made that had one of my dino head motifs in it, and it was all Gucci'd out. And I got a brand new Gucci bag to go with it because I wanted to make sure that whoever owned the piece also owned, piece of Gucci, because I didn't want someone to feel weird about buying it and be like, I don't even own Gucci, but I like the piece.
How do you feel about that, Beast?
What do you mean? That's the kind of shit I like to come up with, too. I love that. I applaud that. I love marketing. I'm a creative marketing cat, and that's exactly what I'm talking about.
So, I mean, I was honestly I love Gucci shit. Honestly, I'm rocking all Gucci shit right now, but I'm I love that shit. I always have. And, I seen a lot of people doing it, and I was you know what? I want to kind of just do a send-up designer piece a little bit because people have referred to my name and stuff or my work as designer in a way. I've done hash collaborations, and people referred to them as designer hash collaborations.
And what is a hash collaboration? What does that mean?
I did one with Olio out in Colorado, and I went through all the flavors they had, and both solvent and solventless, and I got my top three flavors. Well, actually, we had top six at one point, and we mixed them all together, did proprietary blends,
What were the flavors, some of them? I'm very interested in what you guys messed with.
All right, honestly, for the base of the solvent, it was Tangier's. And lemon OG, super lemon OG.
Now I'm a fan of the super lemon.
And I'll tell you, the reason I did that is because those terps, that terpene profile, carried over really well into the pens. and I really love the pens.
Okay.
So, like, that's why I chose that
you,
for that.
Do you extract the hash to make the pen oil straight from the hash?
It
or
was
not?
Distillate from the hash with the terpenes removed and then re-put in. Honestly, if you check out my YouTube channel, Elbow Glass, I have, like, a whole documentary about the process.
That's cool. And then there was a few glass blower documentaries that your boys made, right? Like,
yep. Like
a couple. Let's give a shout out to the few that were out there that I believe you can see on YouTube, right?
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know about Marble Slinger number one.
Sure. Yeah. It was on Netflix even. I think it hit now. Yeah.
Netflix Degenerate Art. If you haven't checked that out,
Degenerate Art.
Check that out.
It's a really, really cool video to get you guys be able to see like what it is about glass blowers and what they do and how they do it and how they create such amazing pieces.
And then there's Max Tubman, Steam Machine Productions. He made a movie with Jop, the documentary.
I heard about that.
Traveling with him to Toronto, and then he's done a few movies that are out there.
That's cool.
Honestly, there are some. And JD, JD did Vagabong. That was
Vagabond.
What a great name.
Shout out JD. Go check that out if you haven't.
Since we're getting towards the end of the episode, are there any guys you want to give any shout outs to personally? Any friends or anybody listening out there?
Gotta give a shout out to Everdream Studios, Nate Myers, Joe Peters, WJC, Yushin, Adam G. Those are my dogs.
That's a posse of the top glass blowers right there. Definitely shout out to those guys. Joe Peters does some bomb, like realistic, fishes. This, I mean, he makes all kinds of crazy stuff.
Shout out Quave.
Quave Glass, old skill. Eugene, one of my homies that I have two pieces that I'm very proud of for sure. And all those guys, absolutely. And everybody's
in Quave.
Everybody's kind of all around, right? Or is there?
Shut up, honey.
There's this thing called the Shack Mansion.
I don't know if he's got.
That's where some of the crew comes from. Is from the Shack Mansion.
From the
originally.
Shack Mansion.
Just shout out Shack Mansion.
This baller ass place where all these fucking.
I'm trying
guys
to get in this
like
click over here,
top.
Man. All the names just sounded so lavish, dude. It's like an amusement park for motherfuckers like us. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to go to the Shack Mansion at nighttime.
Super lavish.
See what I find in there.
Super lavish.
Everdream is the real deal.
You'll ride the elbow bumble cars. You know what I mean?
Yo, come up, you know.
The elbow bubble card.
Yo, man. Everdream is the shit.
Wait, I want to check shit out for sure.
It's sick. We got a TP on the property. Joe P put up there with a little fire pit, little hangout area.
Where is that? Philly or
Pennsylvania?
That's
in Evergreen, Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. So, oh, yeah,
wow.
It's a fucking wild residence, right? Where all these guys can like fucking blow glass. It's super pimped out, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much like a creative space for us and our friends.
Amazing.
Whatever we want.
Amazing.
Whatever you can think of, you can get done
now,
there.
Now, is anything that gets done there property of the guy who's running the whole type of thing? Does he get like, is there, or the,
there's
or,
no guy running it.
There's no like one person who actually runs the bills or this.
No,
so it's all collective, just
we
group.
We all collectively pay
now,
for
now. That is awesome.
We own Everdream LLP. That's
so,
our partnership.
Wow. So
there's no, we have no investors.
Yo, everyone get your bars up. Learn right now.
We took all the bread that we made in the years that we started and we
put
it
smart.
Into this.
That's awesome.
To be a genius. I've been around motherfuckers around the world, like the biggest of the biggest and the smallest of the smallest. And when you're able to pull the biggest wiggle in
that's
the world,
delicious.
The biggest wiggle in the world is where you're able to wiggle and live your lifestyle
the way you want
and do good, positive things.
Absolutely.
And have things that like just seem outlandish from the other people who think that they'd be able to come together with LLC to have a facility that's in a beautiful place in Colorado, that to come together and they're able to fucking have free thinking and actually fucking make some probably the best art that would ever be done. Yep. It's not because it's a non-restrictive space.
Absolutely.
And they all chip in a little bit to be able to fucking have something big. It's a beautiful thing.
That's why if one person's like, we need a lathe. All right, well, everybody chip in.
See? Wow. It's family right there.
Yeah, you know,
super
everybody
tight.
Supports each other.
Yeah, good luck fucking other companies.
Good luck finding a profession where people do that too.
Yeah, that's why this has been since 2012, 2013 that we've been doing this.
Yeah, I've been hearing about it.
So
it's awesome.
It's like almost, we're almost,
Shout out.
You guys are there now.
Or some shit.
Shout out to all you guys. living your dream, and much, much mad respect for all those wonderful glassblowers out there that do what they do to give all the people that get to smoke those pieces such a fucking amazing enjoyment. I hope you guys enjoyed the Wake and Bake show. It was great hanging. Tilo, my brother from another mother.
What's the good word?
You know. Catch Purple Haze Radio on Dash Radio and check out all our different cannabis talk shows, live concerts, and music zones. My brother, it was great having you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Likewise, man. Awesome,
and then we're going to be
waking. You're a goblin, dude. You're a straight goblin. You're a good man goblin.
He's a good man goblin for
He's
sure.
He's a good man goblin. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Peace.
Late.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.